Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4. We begin in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and that would be from where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So take note of the fact that the Holy Spirit was directing our Lord's steps, and he led Jesus to a very unpleasant place. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Well, I'm sure he was hungry, because when a fast approaches 40 days, the body literally begins to starve to death. So this was a very difficult situation, and he was very vulnerable, weak physically, and this is where Satan comes. And we'll try to take advantage of him. 3. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. The devil knew what our Lord's body was craving. Food. More than anything else, food. And so that was what he tempted him with. The devil knows what your desires are, and those are the things that he uses to tempt you, to tempt us to sin. 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So our Lord answered the temptation by quoting a scripture. There is power in the Word of God to douse the fire of temptation. 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, he literally did this, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, I don't know how he did this, but the devil does have power. He has the power of illusion. There's no question about that. And so in some manner, he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it. Satan says, I'll give you everything. And of course, whenever Satan offers you something, you better read the fine print, because there's a catch. Here it is, 7. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. I'll give you it all. I want to do it for you. But you have to worship me. You have to do things my way, not God's way. And a lot of people take that bait because they want things so badly. They want to satisfy their flesh so badly. Verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So again, he answers the temptation with the appropriate scripture. I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to worship my Father. I'm not going to break a commandment to get anything from you. 9. And he, Satan, brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And that would mean the highest part of the temple. And said unto him, if you be the Son of God, hey, everybody knows you're the Son of God, Jesus. And since that's the case, cast yourself down from hence. Throw yourself down. You're God, aren't you? Go ahead and do it. Because, he gives a reason in verse 10, and he even quotes scripture. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Now, Satan quoted Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. I should say he misquoted it. Because the correct quotation is to keep you in all your ways, which refers to the ways of God. And so what that scripture is promising is protection under those circumstances, but not protection for being foolish, as Satan suggested it would cover. And he continues, 11, he continues to quote, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Again, Satan misquoted the text by adding the words, at any time, which changes the meaning completely. So we see that Satan knows the Word of God, and he adds to it, and he takes away from it just enough to try to confuse people, which is why it's so important that we adhere to our Lord's admonition that he gives us several times in Scripture, add not to my word, take not away from my word. Just leave it as it is. 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, because the devil is asking Jesus to tempt the Father. Well, Satan misquoted the Scripture by adding the words, at any time, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. God never promised that he would protect his son or anybody else at any time. You can do the most foolish thing in the world. You can climb the highest building and jump off, and God said he'd protect me at any time. No, he didn't. Not if you're going to do something stupid. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That means that he's going to come back. You know, just because you defeat one of the devil's temptations doesn't mean you should let your guard down. Because he'll come back, he'll hit you again. You may have won the battle, but the war is far from over. 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And so Jesus is under the control of the Holy Spirit. He returns from the wilderness, and his popularity is mounting. 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he was off to a fast start. But this popularity is not going to last, especially once he starts proclaiming the pure word of God. 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, his hometown. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up for to read. And it was common to ask visitors to read the word of God and talk about it. So Jesus is invited. 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And it is written in Isaiah 61:1. That's what he is going to quote. Here we go, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them who were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Everybody's waiting to see what he's going to say about it. They never saw this coming. 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, everybody knows that the scripture I quoted, Isaiah 61, was a messianic scripture talking about the Messiah. I'm him. I'm the Messiah. I'm the fulfillment of these scriptures. It's happening right before your eyes. 22, and all bear him witness. In other words, everyone understood exactly what he was saying. Of course, they didn't believe him. It says in the last part of verse 22, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? How could these gracious words, how could this spiritual eloquence and the substance of what he's saying be coming out of this guy's mouth? Because we know him. He grew up here. He's one of us. 23. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. In other words, you know, we've been hearing about your miracles, Jesus. Now, you ask us to believe that you're the Messiah, let loose with some good ones. 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. He predicted their unbelief. He knew their hearts were unbelief. It didn't matter how many miracles he did. And by the way, if they had heard of his reputation and they've heard the eyewitnesses of all his miracles in Capernaum, why would they need more? Because their hearts were filled with unbelief. He could do a dozen, he could do 50, he could do 100 miracles right before their eyes and they still wouldn't believe, and he knows it. 25. But I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman who was a widow, and she was a Gentile. Through Elijah, God didn't do any miracles for his people at this time. During 3 years of famine, 3 years of drought. Instead, God sent Elijah to a Gentile woman. 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian, another Gentile. 28. And all they in the synagogue, when you heard these words, were filled with wrath. They knew what he was getting at. These people in the synagogue were supposed to be God's people, just like the people in Elijah's day and Elisha's day were supposed to be God's people. God didn't do anything for them because of their unbelief, their coldness toward him, and the message is, you're not getting nothing from me either. It ain't like that. He put them in their place. He is who he is. And if people don't believe it, if they don't like it, that's their problem. 29. And rose up and thrust him out of the city. In other words, they seized him. They took him by force out of the synagogue and out of the city. This was their response to the word of God because it didn't set well with them, because it stepped on their toes. And led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were going to murder him, this hometown boy that grew up among them. 30, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. God wouldn't allow it to happen because it wasn't the place nor the time for our Lord's death. 31, and it's a good thing that they didn't succeed. If God would have let them succeed, they would have sealed their own eternal doom because he never would have went to the cross and died for sins. 31. Came down to Capernaum, city of Galilee. And this was his adopted hometown after the people of Nazareth rejected him, and also his headquarters for his ministry. And taught them on the Sabbath days. And he taught them in their synagogues too. 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He just spoke the pure word of God. He proclaimed it loud and clear. He didn't quote anybody else. It was just God's word. And he gave it straight. And he spoke it with authority, which is the only way to speak the word of God. Do it with authority. You're not the authority. You're just a mouthpiece. But God's word is authoritative because it's God's word. And so it needs to be spoken with authority. If it isn't, you apologize for the word of God. You're misrepresenting God. 33. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. And so the voice of this demon was speaking through this man. And notice, this demon-possessed guy was in church. You know, demon-possessed people are not comfortable where the word of God is proclaimed and where it is taught clearly. So obviously, he was used to being there, and it was lukewarm in the past, and he had felt perfectly comfortable. I think Satan, it feels very, very comfortable in many churches today, because they're all about entertainment and being cute and this and that, rather than boldly proclaiming the word of God, which will make anyone who's living in sin uncomfortable, let alone a demon-possessed person. But this demon-possessed man is not comfortable with Jesus speaking. This is a different message. They say in verse 34, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You come to destroy us?" See, the demons know that their doom is sealed, and they know who's going to execute their doom. It's Jesus, the Son of God. And they're afraid it's about to happen. 35, and Jesus rebuked him. Rebuked the demonic spirit, saying, "Hold your peace," and would shut your mouth and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Just with his spoken word, he commanded the demon, and the demon had to obey. In the contest between God and the devil, it's no contest. The only reason Satan is allowed to at least seemingly win any battles is because God allows it. And if he allows it, it's to use it for our good and for his glory. But Satan is on a leash, and so are his demons. And God is the one holding that leash. And he's got a choke chain on them. 36, and they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Boy, he spoke with authority. He taught with authority. He proclaimed the word of God with authority. And when he spoke to the demons, they saw something that they had never seen before. They fell to their spiritual knees and obeyed Christ immediately. 38, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And this was probably life-threatening, because if you had a high fever in those days, there were no aspirins, there were no drugs that would, you know, get rid of the infection that was causing it. Big trouble. So what do? They besought him, Jesus, for her. They asked Jesus to heal her, 39. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. She was blessed by Jesus. She was saved by Jesus. And so she served Jesus. And that's what God asks of us. He doesn't ask us to try to earn our way to heaven. He asks us to receive the gift of salvation by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then serving him out of appreciation. 40. Now when the sun was setting, so the Sabbath day was ending. It ended at sunset. All they who had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So the people in the area were just watching the clock and watching the sun. As soon as sundown hit, boy, then they were free to move about more. The Sabbath was over. And they brought all sorts of people who were sick and demon-possessed to Jesus. He took care of every single one of them. 41. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Notice how these demons have their theology down. They know that Jesus is the Christ. They know that he's the Son of God. You have people today who have never studied the Bible, but they say they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What an ignorant thing to say. It's because they don't want him to be the Son of God, because they don't want that authority in their life. So they just foolishly proclaim, "He's not the Son of God," as if they know. They don't know. To the damning of their own soul, they don't know. They could learn from the demons, at least correct theology. But notice our Lord's response, "And he rebuking them suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." He didn't want a testimony from demons. He didn't want anybody who heard the demons speak to think that he was in league with them. He doesn't need them to be his PR personnel. 42. And when it was day, insinuating that he ministered all night, he departed and went into a desert place. He just had to get alone, or at least he wanted to get alone, spend some private time with the Father. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Don't go anywhere, Jesus. Please stay by us. 43, he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." Got to get around. A lot of people who have needs. So we need to spread the word of God today to as many people as we possibly can, far and wide, using whatever media the Lord gives us the opportunity to use. Costs money, takes time, takes effort, but it is what God wants us to do. It is what we attempt to do here at Scripture Verse by Verse. That's why we're on radio. That's why we're on the internet. Verse 44, and he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So he traveled throughout the whole region, giving the word of God.